Good evening. We will now call the meeting to order, the regular meeting of the Rockland City Council, Rockland Public Financing Authority and Successor Agency, and the special meeting of the Rockland City Council for January 9th, 2018 is now called to order. Would you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? And Barbara, could we get a roll call, please?
Councilmember Janda.
Present.
Vice Mayor Patterson.
Here.
Councilmember Yule.
Here.
Councilmember Gallardo.
Here.
And Mayor Broadway.
Here. Our next order of business is council reports. These are reports for boards, committees, and commissions. Do we have any council reports today?
Our Western Placer Waste Management Authority board meeting this month is canceled. All I had to report.
Okay. Great.
Yes, brought this up last time. Council member Yule and I have been working on council administration committee, and we've been looking at the council procedures. And if possible, if you haven't taken a look at an email the city attorney sent, if you folks can take a look, and we're hoping to have them on the next agenda, but we need to get together with Scott and finalize some of those things. But if you want to take a look and propose any changes, it'd be great.
Great, thank you.
Yes, I did have another Pioneer Community Energy meeting, board meeting yesterday, our first of the year. And since the notices have gone out to customers, we've gotten a few more folks showing up. Yesterday's meeting, the major topic was talking about net metering for solar customers. Staff was proposing, try to keep it simple, but a true update that solar customers have differently than what they currently have with PG&E. So we heard a lot of comments from the public about that, and we decided to ask staff to go back and try to come up with a program that aligns with PG&E. So they're going to be working on that. The second notices are going out this month, and since solar customers won't be switching over until their true update, which happens throughout the year, they're not getting notices, and there's been a lot of questions about, you know, why am I not, my neighbor's hearing about it, but I'm not hearing about it. So we are going to be sending out notices to all solar customers, just explaining when they will be rolling into the program, just to keep them in the loop. Our partner agencies are currently purchasing power for us to be prepared to go live in February. We've been approved, our credit application's been approved with two large power providers, Shell and Xterra, which is a pretty significant achievement. Most other CCAs operate with an escrow account, so all the funds that are collected go into an escrow, and their vendors and creditors are paid before they get paid. So it sort of delays cash flow and causes some extra expenses. So Pioneer will not have to do that because of you know, essentially the good standing of the county credit. There will be, now that we've got good information, our website is live, and we've got rate information, the forums will be held, one in Rockland coming up this month, Lincoln, we'll have two, Auburn, Forest Hill, kind of the regional county max. We'll all have public forums. We will also be holding a forum specifically for solar contractors. There's about 350 that are registered through the MPower program. So we're gonna invite them to a forum that'll be catered just to them so they can find out more about how it impacts them and their projects and their customers. So that's good. And then we still haven't started hiring any staff. We're waiting on a final benefit package that the county HR department is working on, and we expect that to come in front of the board in the next week or two. So once we approve that, we can start putting out notices for hiring a staff. So be happy to answer any questions.
I have none. Any questions from council?
No, thank you.
Okay, Thank you. And the meetings I was scheduled to attend in December were canceled due to the holidays, so I have nothing to report at this time. So with that, we will move to agenda review. Are there any agenda modifications from council? All right, how about staff?
No,
none? Okay, and the public? Okay, there being none, we will then move to the consent calendar. Consent calendar is our routine matters that are acted on in one motion, and individual items can be removed by council for separate discussion. And is there any modifications or any items that need to be removed or moved from the consent calendar?
No, thank you.
No. Staff? And anyone from the public? Okay, there being none, could I get a motion on the consent calendar?
Move to approve the consent.
I'll second.
Okay, it's been motioned and seconded to approve the consent calendar. Any additional discussion? There being none, all in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Opposed? And abstentions, none. So it's passed unanimously. The next item on our agenda is citizens addressing the council. This is an opportunity for members of the public to address the council on items, any items that of business interest to the public that are not on our agenda today. Speakers are limited to 5 minutes unless time is extended by the presiding officer, which is the mayor. Council members may briefly respond to statements made or questions asked by a speaker, but may not take any action or make any decisions on any item that's not on our agenda. And although not required, it is appreciated if speakers could provide their name and city of residence. So with that, we will open it up for citizens addressing the council. And if you wish to address the council, if you would approach the mic and give your name and city of residence, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
I think
Mayor Broadway, Vice Mayor Patterson, council members.
Mr. Rudolph. Mr. Horst, thank you very much. My name is Dr. Pete Bellutini. I've been a resident of Rockland for the past 14 years, and I currently reside on Rawhide Road. My home is adjacent to the irrigation reservoir that was once used by the Rockland Golf Club, and it's currently owned by Mr. Sayufi and managing partner Charlie Gibson. I've been asked to address you on behalf of many of my neighbors who also have homes around the reservoir, and other residents that share concerns about this body of water and Clover Valley Creek, over 20 of whom have signed the attached letter expressing our concerns. The irrigation reservoir has not been maintained in many years. It's in terrible shape with accumulated silt and debris. The surrounding landscape is overgrown with tall weeds and fallen trees. There have been significant flooding events in the past on Cimarron Court, and myself and my neighbors have deep concerns with respect to repeated flood events and dropping value for what are now swamp front properties. We have addressed these issues with Mr. Charlie Gibson, but not surprisingly, he has failed to live up to the reservoir maintenance obligations. In response to the cry of Rockland residents with homes that surrounded the golf course, the city recently purchased the golf course property, seemingly closing a long and contentious relationship with its former owners, who proved to be challenging negotiators, to say the least. Myself and other property owners surrounding this irrigation reservoir parcel felt that this deal would also bring us some relief, but we were truly surprised when we found out at the council meeting on October 24th that the reservoir parcel was specifically omitted from the sale. We were also told there will be a 90-day period of due diligence during which we could submit our concerns and be heard. However, this period was cut unexpectedly short without any outreach by the city to residents adjacent to the reservoir parcel. There was never an opportunity to explore options where this infrastructure might be used to irrigate the park at a substantially lower cost than creating a completely new irrigation system. There was never an opportunity to explore a mutually agreeable solution for long-term maintenance of the property and long-term maintenance of the irrigation reservoir to ensure that we property owners do not experience flood events like we have in the past. Quite frankly, we felt blindsided by the city's attempt to sever the reservoir property from the rest of the golf course purchase. We feel that this directly increased our risk of flooding and it reduces our property value, since Charlie Gibson certainly has no intention of or incentive to comply with the maintenance obligations for the reservoir parcel. In fact, Charlie Gibson has advised us that he expects to see any water purchased by the city that would ultimately flow through Clover Valley Creek to accumulate in what will be a stagnant reservoir during the summer months, and that there would only be a trickle delivered to any areas downstream. This would certainly be devastating to the riparian ecosystem and all wildlife that depends on it, including Clover Valley Creek and the new park system. We're reaching out and asking that the city meet with us to discuss mutually agreeable solutions for long-term maintenance of the reservoir to avoid flooding and protect the health and well-being of Rockland residents while providing potential irrigation for the golf course property. We're reaching out and asking the city help preserve the creek flow to avoid devastating impacts to wildlife. Please help find a solution so that the purchase of the golf course property can be a true victory for the city of Rockland and all its residents. Thank you for your time and hearing these comments.
Thank you. Rick, do you want to?
I was just going to say, would you like to leave a script of that with
yes.
the clerk for the record?
Sure.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, absolutely.
Would you mind leaving your contact information as well?
Yes, yeah, I did leave it on that paperwork.
Okay, there, so great,
thank you.
Okay, and that contact information, cell, email, has all your
both on
information
there, yes.
on it?
Thank
okay,
you.
Great.
Thank you.
And may I also just comment as well, I know there's a few gentlemen out here that are part of that, and Joe Mitchell actually stopped into my office today, and we had a long conversation about this as well. I'll let you know that.
Great, all right, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, is there anyone else that would like to address the council? Okay, there being none, I will bring it back to the council for our regular agenda. The next item is ordinance, item 14, and that is a ordinance of the city council that will be presented to us by Steve Rudolph.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. The item before you tonight is an ordinance adding an appeal procedure to Title V of the Municipal Code. Title V deals with business taxes, licenses, and regulations. And, you know, I'm probably one of the few people in the audience that probably get excited about adding a new appeal process to the municipal code. But when I went through the code several months ago, what I determined is that there's probably in excess of 20 different appeal mechanisms within the municipal code. And so ultimately the long-term goal is to come up with a consistent appeal process. In most cases, there'll be some exceptions, but to have a consistent appeal process that tries to resolve any disputes at the lowest level possible and injects an opportunity for informal resolution. So I thought it was a little bit too much to revise the entire code at one sweep. You know, there's an old saying about how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time. So my first bite is Title V. And so what's before you tonight is a new chapter in Title V that is an appeal process that will govern most of the other chapters in Title V. And basically what the appeal process will be is that for those chapters in Title V governed by this new appeal process, there'll be an opportunity for anybody dissatisfied with a decision made by staff in the issuance or non-issuance of a permit or any other decision to first appeal that decision to the city manager. And if they're not satisfied with the result of that appeal to the city manager, then there'd be an opportunity to come to the city council for a second appeal. During this entire process, there would also be an opportunity for the person that's dissatisfied to approach the official that first made the decision in an effort to informally resolve the matter. And if they did reach informal resolution, then their appeal fee, if any was paid, would be refunded. The importance of this appeal process is that if there's not an effective appeal process in the municipal code, then people that are dissatisfied, their remedy is to go to court. And we don't want to do that before we've had an opportunity to learn that people are dissatisfied and make an effort to resolve those particular issues. There are a couple chapters within Title V that have not been affected by this change, and that's predominantly because those sections dealing with cable television, franchises, and transit occupancy tax are a little bit specialized and only affect a few parties. In the case of franchisees for cable, I think we've got two in the city, and the transit occupancy tax issue is pretty technical and only applies to the hotels. So those I left alone. But the other sections, such as business licenses, bingo games, massage services, taxi cabs, adult-related businesses, all of those chapters would fall under this new uniform process. So if the council does introduce and ultimately adopt this ordinance during the course of the remainder of the year, I'll come back with revisions to other segments of the municipal code. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Okay, thank you.
I have no questions.
No questions? One from you.
When a determination is made, typically right now, or does the person who may get an adverse decision in their opinion, do they know that there's an appeal right, or?
Typically what happens is when a staff makes a decision, say on a massage permit, there would be a letter that would be sent to the person and would tell them what their appeal right is. But when you start going through these particular chapters, in some instances, there might be a decision by the police chief. And if the person's dissatisfied, it goes to the city council directly. There's other situations where if there's a dissatisfaction with a director decision, it goes to the city manager, and then there's no opportunity to go to the city council. And so it's really all across the board. Sometimes it comes directly to the council, sometimes it never comes to the council. And what this new ordinance would do would be to have two opportunities for resolution, one administratively with the manager, and if that's not successful, then at the end of the day, the buck stops here. There'd be an opportunity for anybody in the community under these mechanisms to bring their dispute to the city council.
No, I think it's great. I guess when we make these decisions, Do they know they can appeal it, I guess? Because sometimes we might get a call or something on a decision made, oh, this didn't happen, or something happened, and I was denied or something. It's like, well, did you know you could actually appeal that to the city manager, and so on and so forth?
So the answer is yes, because in our letters informing folks of the decisions, there's typically a paragraph in there that says, here's what your appeal right is.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and I have no questions, and given staff is the presenter, I will open it up. Is there anyone from the public that wishes to speak on this? So I'll open public comment. Okay, there being no one, I will bring it back to council for discussion.
All right, I'll start. I certainly support what's been presented. I know one of the tasks that I think we tasked our city attorney with when he came on board is to streamline a lot of antiquated ordinances and many other aspects, actually. And this is achieving that. And this is, I think, better for the public, too. They understand where they can go. It streamlines it, as you pointed out. And it has been very challenging to know if if this occurs, do I appeal it here or appeal it there? So I'm very pleased to see this come forward, and it will, I'm sure, evolve maybe as well, but I would totally support it.
Thank you for taking this on. I appreciate it. I think one of the things that's important for me is being consistent and also some brevity, and again, to make it easier for not just for us, but for the public so that they can see that process. So I support doing this and that we consistently continue on to bite off those other chunks.
Thank you.
None?
Nope, no comments. I fully support the ordinance.
Great, thank you. And so, Steve, this is just another step in the direction that we had discussed as a council for with you and moving to kind of standardize and clean things up that needed to be. So happy to see us moving forward in that direction, and certainly appreciate you taking the time to move us there with this change in the ordinance. So thank you for that. So with that, I would ask the council for a motion. Now, because this is an ordinance, we do need to read this in full.
Mr. Mayor, move to introduce an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Rockland, California, amending Title V of the Rockland Municipal Code regarding appeals. Mm-hmm. Procedures for Title V, waive the full reading of the ordinance, and continue to the next regular meeting for adoption.
Second.
It's been motioned and seconded to approve the ordinance. Any further discussion? There being none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed or abstentions? There being none, approved unanimously. Our next item is bid action, and that is the annual dig outs project. And we have a staff presentation by Rick Lawrence today, I believe, or I guess Justin.
Yeah, this evening, good evening, Mayor, Council Members, Justin Narker, Director of Public Services, and I'll be doing this presentation tonight. This evening, I'm before you regarding our annual dig-out project for roadway maintenance. This project was advertised and bids opened on November 16th of 2017. 8 bids were received, ranging from $672,000 to about $1.6 million. The low bidder, J.B. Bostic, failed to recognize the addendum. The second lowest bidder, Vintage Paving, filed a protest letter regarding this. Their protest was based on the following. Number one, the apparent low bidder failed to acknowledge addendum number one. And number two, the failure to acknowledge the addendum gave the apparent low bidder an unfair advantage in the bid process. Staff has reviewed all the bids for sufficiency, and after reviewing documentation and speaking with the low bidder, is suggesting that this is a minor irregularity, and as per Section 17 of the Notice and Information to Bidders, the city may waive such irregularities in the bids. Therefore, staff has prepared 3 separate resolutions for your approval this evening. The first is related to the bid protest. If that is approved, then the other 2 resolutions are related to the bid award. Staff has notified Vintage Paving of this council meeting and the opportunity that they have to address council to protest this bid. And if council has any questions for me at this time, I'd be happy to answer.
Okay, thank you, Justin. Any questions from council?
None at this time.
None?
I do, Justin. So when you open bids, you have a public meeting and do that, are you screening through the bid at that time, or are you just announcing pricing?
No, the city clerk does go through all of the required components.
So in this particular instance, and I say there's one signature missing on the addendum, everyone who was at the mandatory meeting to discuss the items?
So the bid opening is not a mandatory, at the mandatory pre-bid meeting, everybody that was present, or those people that submitted bids had attended the mandatory pre-bid meeting. So the mandatory pre-bid meeting, the addendum was pretty much the notes or discussing what was covered in that meeting.
So everything that was covered in that addendum one was covered at that meeting, of which all parties were there?
That is correct.
And then when the clerk opens the bids at that point in time, I know it takes a little bit of time to go through to make sure that all the pieces are there. Is it's just the pricing that's discussed?
No, at the bid opening, the clerk does recognize the price and if addendums were acknowledged.
Okay. So on this one, there was one person that did not acknowledge?
That is correct.
And I see that it says in there that that may impact the bid, not that it shall, but it may. So was there a discussion, were they there, represented at that meeting?
They were at that meeting, but staff took everything in its entirety back to the office, and that's when we started going over the numbers and going over the bids to look at them for consistency and make sure that we had everything there.
So there was not a discussion right then and there to say, hey?
I don't know if there was a discussion. Barbara might be able to chime in on that. I know that Rick Lawrence, our maintenance supervisor, he alluded to the fact that there would be a protest letter, so I'm assuming there was some form of discussion between him and the parties, but I don't know exactly what transpired.
Council staff does not do their deliberations at that meeting. They just,
I assume.
The clerk looks through the packet, acknowledges receipts of certain items, and then they've taken back, and then staff reviews them in greater detail before making, you know, doing their deliberations and making the final determination.
And I think the other question I had is under the protest letter that we said they felt like that it would make an impact on pricing, can you share why? I'm not sure that I'm seeing why it would make an impact.
I think that's the question. We don't see how it could. Acknowledging a document doesn't change their pricing or their estimates or any of those things.
Under these circumstances, with the information that was available at the mandatory pre-bid meeting, staff determined that it didn't affect the pricing. Staff also, on our electronic notification system, people that register for the bids, they are sent out all of the information, and so they acknowledged receipt of the bid. They just failed to do so, or the addendum, they just failed to do so on their bid packet.
Thank you.
So in essence, we did send it to them electronically. They did acknowledge receipt, but they didn't formally sign the document in the packet. But that's why you feel like it's immaterial.
Okay. So in the protesters' letter, I think it was stated that I don't have it right in front of me here, but commented that the omission of that addendum created an omission of scope of work, it seemed like, or the language was. They're contending, I think, that it required a lot more work, and I'm not sure I'm making that connection. I'm hearing that it was just a technicality, but.
I think Steve's best to answer that question.
Yeah, when when staff reviewed it, we could not determine the basis for Vintage's allegation that there were omissions. It looked to be just a minor technicality, the absence of a signature. So if Vintage Paving is here tonight, they might be the best ones to clarify what was intended by their letter of November 20th.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so I would be interested to know if omitting that addendum is somehow omitting or overlooking potential needed work. Because there is a significant difference in these bids, or the one bid. So I don't have any other questions at this point.
So, Mr. Mayor, can I have a follow-up?
Absolutely.
So Jill's question, Justin, you mentioned that it was the addendum as a result, summarizing sort of what went on at the pre-bid mandatory meeting, or was the addendum something that was initially sent out with the quote package?
So the addendum was a result of that meeting.
Okay.
So questions, clarifications. There were 13 items that were addressed on the bid addendum, listing from priority work areas to bid items that changed. I think clarifying what was said at that meeting.
Okay.
So that's
Of a collection of the items discussed, and then you prepared that and sent that out. So it sounded a little bit different than what you acknowledged on Jill's question, that the addendum was prior to that. But I just want to clarify it that the addendum was created after the meeting.
That is
based
correct.
On what was discussed at the meeting. Okay. Yes. And then sent to all the bidders. Okay, great. Thanks.
And I think that, you know, the key point is that from staff's perspective, we do not believe that anything in that addendum number one increased the scope of work.
And so for me, the 8 respondents all participated in that meeting. Correct, Justin?
Yes.
And so they were aware of the requirements prior to submission of their bid.
That is correct.
And therefore, those bids would be representative of the items that were identified in the addendum.
That is correct.
Okay. So for me, there's a significant delta between the different bids. But even in the case of the company that was concerned about the lack of the signed addendum, I mean, there's still a difference of their $936,000 and $1.6 million. Can you give us a sense for that variance in the different bids and what you saw in the approach that was taken?
The bid itself had different line items for different pavement thicknesses, and which with each pavement thickness there was a quantity. So we estimated that we're going to have so many potholes that are between 0 and 100 square feet, and at that price, traffic control, everything associated with removing that material and putting it back in would cost X dollar amount. And so each contractor was responsible for looking at the estimated quantities and looking at the work and associating a dollar amount with that work. So each line item is pretty much capturing all the work elements needed to produce that asphalt repair. So taking it out, disposing of it. And so with what we've seen with contract prices lately, depending on how busy people are, depending on how hungry they are for the work, we've seen different numbers from the contractors. So breaking those numbers down, I can't break them down any further beyond what they did, but that's kind of what we've seen with our projects lately, just the difference in who's hungry for work and who's not.
And then we've actually had the opportunity to work with both of these firms.
Yeah, we've done work with both JB Bostic and Vintage Paving. They're both good. In fact, the top three are contractors that we've done work with. So it's not an issue of quality of work. We know that these contractors do good work. It was just a matter of who was the lowest bid in this instance.
Okay. And just one last question. We are accepting a bid for $672,000. However, within the report, it states that there's an established change order authority at 15% based on a budgeted amount of $1.26 million. Is that?
That's been amended.
That has been amended?
Did we get a blue sheet associated with that?
It's in.
So it's 15% okay. Of the bid, the 600 and whatever number.
Okay. Great. I'm glad that we mentioned that because I did not see that. And I apologize, Council, if you've already reviewed that detail. So we've then made that change. So, Justin, can you kind of walk us through what that change is?
So the change is we're taking the bid amount. The city manager has change order authority established at 15% of that bid amount. And that gives us our total authorized amount to spend on this project.
Council, if I may, our budget had 1.2 million roughly for these projects. They came in less than expected. So there's the ability to add additional projects, but that will actually need to come back to you through a change order process. And that's the difference between the two, is that it needs to come back through a change order and not be a part of this initial bid.
Now, if I understand correctly, also these are gas tax funds that have to be spent on road repair, and they have a time frame. They have time specificity to them in which the funds have to be used as well.
That is correct.
Okay. So use of those. Okay.
Or we have to give it back.
Okay.
So we do anticipate bringing a change order with additional roads to be repaired, and at this lower price, we'll get a lot more done than we anticipated, and that should make some of our citizens happy.
Okay. So I did note that in the report, there was one bullet point that spoke of a few specific locations and referenced Scarborough to Night Watch, partial road reconstruction on Rockland Road, Rockland Ranch Industrial Park. Do we normally not put specifics in the bid relative to locations? Is it generally less specific?
So the bid addendum did provide a priority list of work that the maintenance supervisor had provided. This is a maintenance bid, though, so we're looking at roadways that are scheduled for future resurfacing and trying to address the potholes and the digouts that need to be done do those projects at a later date. So this one is kind of ambiguous because with the rain, with everything else that we're getting now, we'll see our roads start to change a little bit. But we did identify in Addendum 1 a priority list and the list of streets that you had seen as well.
Council, you may recall that they do an annual evaluation of streets and then they rank them. And as you may recall, we actually know projects out 3, 4, 5 years. That does change as conditions change, something surfaces that we did, so that's why for some flexibility. What this will probably enable us to do is start hitting some of the 2019 streets this year and speed up the process and reach out a little bit quicker.
May I ask one other question?
Sure.
That comment you made, Justin, generated the question. You said we've done work with both businesses in the past. I mean, they bid similar types of projects, the road maintenance type projects?
Yes, dig out projects.
Has there ever been as large a disparity in the bids, or you know, have there been significant disparities between the two companies?
Not that I recall. I couldn't give you any specific examples off the top of my head.
Okay.
I would say, though, that there's pretty good gaps between the low and the top bidder when we have 8, 9, 10 bids. That's not uncommon. And again, it goes to how hungry they are, if they have extra time or trying to squeeze in a project or just trying to make payroll. All those things make a difference.
Okay. So, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, just a little more along that line. I mean, the same argument could be made for the high bidder saying, well, the second to low bidder was what, $600,000-$700,000 below mine, so something was wrong. So that's, you know, I agree with Justin's comments, you know, the way contractors kind of, they bid just depending on need for work and whatnot, and that shows their numbers are all over the place.
You may recall the initial bids for the park, they were between $4 or $5 million and $20 million, as I recall. So.
Yeah, no, I totally understand and seen a lot of bids and approved a lot of bids. I mean, I'm just specific to these two entities is where I was going, if it's atypical or not, and I realize there's not any data to substantiate that one way or the other, but thanks.
Thank you, Councilman Janda, because that was exactly the direction I was going, which is, you know, it's a $360,000 difference between those two bids. However, it's $1 million difference between the highest bid and the lowest bid. So there's a significant difference in how those were approached. So, okay. Any further questions from council? Okay, there being none, I'll open it up to the public. Is there anyone from the public who wishes to comment on this item? There being none, I'll bring it back to council.
Mr. Mayor, I'd ask if you specifically would ask if anybody from Vintage Paving Company present in the audience.
Yes, thank you, Steve. Do we have anyone from Vintage in the audience? Nope, no one is representing Vintage on the appeal. All right, so with that, I do want to bring it back to council. What I would ask from council's perspective, in order for us to act on this, we do need to act first on item A. And therefore, I would ask that we first debate that item or discuss that item and then move forward with a motion. So I would ask the council if you have any comments or any discussion regarding item 15A.
No, just comments. I mean, I trust our staff's judgment, and I trust our legal advice that this has been a technicality, so I'd be willing to support the resolution, rejecting the bid.
Okay, great, thank you.
I will admit I'm disappointed that no one's here. I would like to have given them the opportunity to explain why in their letter that they felt that it impacted the bid. So I'm disappointed that they're not here to give that input. I too have done a lot of bids in my world, and I understand a minor change. I do have some concerns. It's very clear that on our, especially now that you clarified that the addendum was done after that pre-bid meeting. So it was a summary of what they said, but also obviously there were some adjustments there. It's very clear in here that says sign and include this addendum in your bid, and then in bold and caps, it submit this sheet as part of your bid, and then in the warning in the box, it says it may cause your bid to be proposed. So I would have appreciated Vintage being here to tell me if there was a concern, because I think I would have liked to hear that input. But they're not. So I think the one question that I guess I had for staff, well, no, I think I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Jill.
Well, first of all, for $300,000 difference, I gladly accept the advice of staff that this was a technical, item rather than an actual item. I mean, I wouldn't really feel comfortable spending that much money over something like that. However, I mean, just a couple things that I was thinking about during that discussion was, we go through a lot of bids. I don't know if this is normal. I ask the mayor emeritus, but we've done a lot of bids of millions of dollars or somewhere around there, and I don't know if I've ever seen a contractor at a council meeting, and I don't know if we request for them not to come, but I mean, in this particular case where there is something sort of, an item, I would like to see the contractors, because what if we have questions on the particular product or something like that? That would come up if one item ever comes up again on a road maintenance item. But on this particular one, I mean, it kind of leaves us at a bind where we're, we can't really ask those questions. And but generally, I think in this particular case, it sounds like the contractors have all done work with us. And while I'm a little bit hesitant because I am worried about potentially being, embarrassed by more change orders to come where the price ends up being $900,000+. I think that this particular contractor, will want to continue to do business with the city in the future and wouldn't want to have a track record where change order after change order after change order. So it looked like you were going to comment on that.
If I could just clarify, for this type of a maintenance bid where you've got your quantities all established, the change orders that would be coming before you would be regarding to expand the scope and not necessarily the pricing, just to do more work because we have that much more money budgeted within this line item as was approved by the council for the original budget. So that's for this type of a bid. For a maintenance bid, it's really just to use the dollars we have to extend the scope as opposed to adding additional line items that would be
Due to unknown.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's what I think is, after this is all executed and all the work's done, we'll know that for sure, 100%. Proof will be in the pudding, and we will have saved Rockland taxpayers $300,000 or $1 million in the case of some of the fine bids we've received. So thanks. I support it. Thank you.
Council, if I may, we did write a letter to Vintage Paving Company. We did advise them that the protest would be heard tonight and invited their attendance.
Yeah, I support staff's recommendation that these companies are established and we've dealt with them before and they're comfortable with either one, and going with the low bid is the way to go. And based on Justin's description of this type of project, it's not like we're getting into something that there could be other things that we're not aware of that could actually increase the cost of just the existing scope, but it seems like Public Works Department's comfortable with the scope and the bids the way they are, so I support it.
Okay, great. Well, again, given the explanation relative to the fact that all of the bidders were in attendance at the discussion. They did receive the information, and that the bid submitted, based on the information that's been supplied to us, included all of the details that were within that addendum, and that within that language we did state may as opposed to will. It gives us the ability to state that, you know, they did meet the requirements relative to the bid, and therefore, given that, I do believe accepting the lowest bid is supportable, and so I do support staff's recommendation on item 15A as well. So with that, I will bring it back to council unless you have a additional questions, and I need a motion on that first item.
I move to approve item 15, the annual dig out project, the A, resolution of the City Council, City of Rockland, rejecting the bid protest submitted by Vintage Paving Company, Inc.
Second.
Okay, it's been motioned and seconded to approve item 15A. Any further discussion? There being none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed or abstentions? There being none, it passes unanimously. Next, we have items 15B and C. You can read those by number and letter only. Is there any further discussion on those items?
No, Mr. Mayor, I move to approve item 15B.
Second.
Actually, we can read those together.
Oh,
yes.
I move to approve items 15B and C.
I will second.
Okay, it's been motioned and seconded to approve items 15B and C. Any additional discussion? There being none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. All right. Our next item on the agenda is reports from city officials, discussions, and potential action items. Are there any items from council? There being none, any from staff?
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. On behalf of the Parks, Recreation, and Arts Commission, they have been looking at the resolution that the council adopted, I think about 2 years ago now, that basically established and outlined what the priorities and the job description, so to speak, of the commission is. And within that, it talks about reviewing that on an annual basis and the commission coming back to council with recommendations for any updates or changes. They have requested to have a couple of the commissioners meet with council, and that's something I, as staff, can set up if there are a couple of, if the mayor would so choose and would like to discuss that, if you would like to have a couple of council members meet with them.
Okay, great. Any questions for Karen? I think it's a great idea. From the standpoint of the council involvement, it's really at this point it would be a matter of council, but two council members being willing to meet with the Park Rec and Arts Commission members that you choose. I would be happy to meet with them. Is there any other council member that would be willing and interested in meeting with our Parks, Rec, and Arts Commission to kind of give them some direction? And what we would thus do is, from this type of a meeting, is we would then ask that the Parks, Rec, and Arts Commission come back and present to us relative to that, based on the direction given, and then it would provide us with the opportunity to then, as a full council, support that direction.
As I will be working with the Arts Commission, I'd be happy to do that too.
Okay, wonderful. So you have Councilmember Gialdo and myself would appreciate that, and just please communicate with us based on their availability.
Yep, they have a meeting tomorrow night, so I will let them know. Thank you.
All right, wonderful. Thank you, Karen. All right, any other reports from city officials, staff? There being none, okay. Future agenda items.
Mr. Mayor, I'm not certain if maybe it should have been last time or agenda items. In keeping in that same conversation, we've had some discussion about the other two school districts, the elementary district from Loomis and the high school district, in some of our new building projects. I would like to have us entertain the opportunity to do a similar, like we do the 2x2 with Rockland Unified, doing the same for the other two to make sure that we're communicating well on future projects. And so we can make sure that line of communication is open with all the districts that we're representing.
Okay, so a future agenda item to discuss a 2x2.
Can I add perhaps to that? I've been made aware of just issues with also charter schools in town, you know, that's to educate some students, things like that. Just nothing major or anything, but I mean, maybe that could be looped into part of the conversation, because we do have multiple charter schools, different districts, and then also Loomis as well. I don't know if you're thinking something separate, but maybe just part of the conversation as we're going through that.
Well, I think communication with all of our school districts, schools are great. I was looking at the building projects for districts that will have to serve students that are not in, that are currently there in Loomis Union Elementary District and Placer Union High School District, because we are approving some projects that those students are served by a different school district. So I think that communication piece is something we've all kind of learned that we could do better.
Great. We also have the discussion that we continued, and we do have that down, Jill, for a future discussion item. So continued from our December meeting, the discussion of canceling the March 27th regular council meeting, and that is the week of spring break. So I will open it to council and feedback from staff in relationship to where we feel we'll be on access to staff as well as council members. I know, Scott, you spring break really impacts you.
It does. I go crazy. I forget why we tabled this, to be honest with you. I don't know why we tabled this.
I think it was at the end of a very long meeting.
That might have been it. Okay,
it was the 12th. I know that you were trying to forget that meeting, yeah. Scott.
In essence, staff just wants to know whether we'll have a quorum or not so that we can prepare accordingly and let potential applicants know in advance should the meeting not hold. And I know at least one of you have a conflict, and we want to just ascertain the rest of your schedules for that meeting.
As of right now, I'll be here.
Yeah, so you're just looking to make sure we're going to have a quorum at this
yes.
point? Yeah, I will not be in Mazatlan or anything like that during spring break, so I will be here.
I'm also planning to be here on the 27th.
And I will not be here.
Okay. I will be here.
We typically try to, you know, if there's any controversial or heavy-hitting items that we'll make sure those don't get on there, because it's important to have a full council, but and then we'll go ahead and proceed with scheduling a meeting for that date then.
Yeah, just to be clear, there wasn't an item that I'm overlooking or missing, is it?
No, it was just a concern on whether or not we would have
past years we sometimes didn't have a quorum, but we didn't know it till towards the end.
Right. Okay.
So. Well, we'll change our schedules about the 20th or so. So.
Mr. Mayor, I do have a proxy. If we're done with that, I do have a future agenda item before we move on.
Yes, sir.
This is a question for Steve, and I know we've had some discussion last year and some ordinances regarding marijuana dispensaries and whatnot in our community, and I don't often get very many tidbits from the SACB, but all these years of reading, something popped up over the holidays, and they talked about online delivery services, and I'm sure we probably have some of those operating in and out of the city, you know, that they're very difficult to kind of monitor, you know, we don't really know. But it did mention about a distribution premises license required by the municipality, so I don't know if that's maybe a future agenda or something to look into, how we do that, should we do it?
Currently, we have a prohibition in place through an urgency ordinance, and that urgency ordinance is in place until August of this year. And we put that in place in order to first give the state an opportunity to come forward with their licensing program to better evaluate the climate regionally and locally. And I believe that planning staff will be working over the next several months on recommendations to bring forward to the City Council relating to a permanent regulatory program.
Okay.
Is that right, Mark?
That's correct.
So currently, based on our emergency ordinance, those operations cannot occur legally?
That's correct.
Okay.
Because the state program...
They're not occurring.
Exactly, yeah, and maybe the police chief can...
The state program requires that the permittee also have any required local permits, and since we prohibit it, the state would not issue a license.
Okay, great, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Any other future agenda items? No? All right, move to our next item, future strategic planning items. Any future strategic planning items?
No, staff?
Got a full list for next week.
So. Okay. Excellent. And Public Financing Authority, no action required. City Council acting as successor agency, no action required. And we will now move to closed session. We actually have two items on our closed session. The first item is on our regular agenda. The second is on our special agenda. Are there any comments from the public regarding those two items? There being none, we will move to closed session on counsel, a conference with legal counsel on existing litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, claim of Emilio Perez Chavez, and also on a conference with legal counsel on existing litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9. Pereira versus City of Rockland et al. Placer Superior Court case number SCV-0036594.
And we'll have these people go. It's only been an hour.
Yeah. It's quick. Yeah.
Stretch this thing out.
Oh, great. Thank you. Thank you, Justin. Yeah.
So it does bring up an interesting question as far as want to have the stations. That's one thing, because we do in some of our parks. If so, where are the appropriate locations?
Let's talk more. Okay, don't get them back to the developer yet.
Okay.
Well,
hold on. Yeah,
let's have another.
We'll just pause.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for the update, though. I mean, makes sense to me, you know, now I just got to figure out.